ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Is everybody set and ready? Because if you are, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, 25 questions in five categories. Okay, our categories are tonight. Category number one, crime books. Crime books. Category number two, born in 1946. Category number three, food and drink. Category number four, farm equipment. And category number five, health and fitness. Crime books, born in 1946, food and drink, farm equipment, health and fitness. Who is going to kick us off? Anne from Caulfield's first up tonight. Hello, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
Welcome back. Yes, no, I'm going very well.
Good on you.
I have no doctor's certificate to prove that, but that's my assessment of the matter. What do you reckon? Crime books, born in 1946, food and drink, health and fitness, farm equipment.
I'll take health and fitness, and if I answer one question correctly, I'll give you a doctor's certificate to say you're fit.
Health and fitness. See, Anne, don't think me intrusive or asking personal questions or being rude here, Anne.
But
I'm not really thinking of you as a treadmill type, Anne. Or that may be wrong. Maybe you might say archly, well, that's not correct, Philip.
Well, you're more correct than I am.
Question number one, health and fitness. Which exercise program was launched in 2001 by Colombian dancer Beto Perez?
Would that be Zumba?
Correct. See how wrong I am.
Not very.
Zumba. Have you ever done a Zumba class, Anne?
No. Oh, actually, I did various dancing classes, but not Zumba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was very popular for a while. I think it might have faded away a bit, you know.
My husband's cousin goes and does Zumba every week, and she loves it.
Oh, okay.
She goes at the end of a long day, and she says it invigorates her.
It invigorates her?
Yeah, I mean, at the long end of a long day, I'm exhausted, but she goes and she's, you know, really, and she enjoys it. It sort of, I think invigorates is the word. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All righty. 1-300-800-222. Oh, by the way, some breaking news just through CNN. The founder of CNN, the media pioneer in the United States, Ted Turner, has died. That news just through. There you go.
He was married to he was married to somebody famous also.
I'm trying to remember.
Can't remember. A famous actress. I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Someone will know. But yes, Ted Turner of CNN, founder of CNN, has died. News through. Still no further news, by the way. We'll bring you some news if there is a breakthrough on the Iran war. There is a lot of suggestions that we are close. Heavens above, let's make it happen. Question number two, health and fitness, Anne, from... I've been proven badly wrong here.
No, not really. I think you're about to be proven very right.
And Anne's other name is Jane Fonda, by the sound of it.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I thought Jane Fonda, yep.
Question number two. Body pump fitness. Originated in which country? Body pump.
I'm thinking maybe America. Maybe not, but I'll say America and good night.
No, not the United States.
I was right to say good night.
Someone said Jane Fonda was married to Ted Turner. Okay.
I think that's why I thought that's why you said Jane Fonda.
I was only saying Jane Fonda because of Jane Fonda's exercise classes.
But I think she was, yeah.
Oh, how about that? Isn't that a serendipitous little association? Yes, Jane Fonda was married to Ted Turner. Thank you, Chris, in the Southern Waters. There you go.
Okay.
Alrighty. Thanks, Anne.
Okay, see you later.
See you, bye. You've eliminated America. It's not America. Jake from Ballarat. Hello, Jake.
Hello.
Health and fitness, body pump fitness originated in which country?
It's close to home. I think it's New Zealand.
Correct. It is. Yes, it is. It is close to home. It involves lifting sheep above your head and then replacing them in the natural pasture without hurting them.
I can't go any further than that. More my jokes will be inappropriate.
Question number three. Health and fitness, but you don't have to stay there. You can move anywhere. Farm equipment, crime books, born in 1946, food and drink.
Look, Lucky Radio doesn't have a camera because health and fitness is not my strength. We'll move to crime novels.
Crime? No, I didn't say novels. I said crime books.
Crime books, sorry.
Well, they could be novels. I don't know. Question number three. That's an interesting kind of distinction, though, isn't it? Really, is a true crime story? No, that's not a novel. I suppose not true crime, but anyway, let's not go down there.
Will they be fiction or non-fiction?
Well, they're fiction or non-fiction. I suppose that's a good distinction. That's right. Question number three: crime books. Ian Rankin's Rebus novels are mainly set in which Scottish city?
Oh, Scottish city. I was hoping for a different question. Hang on. Scottish. Is Edinburgh Irish or Scottish? I'm going to go with Edinburgh. I think Scottish is Edinburgh.
Edinburgh is correct, yes. Edinburgh. Ian Rankin's Rebus novels are mainly set in which Scottish city? Edinburgh. Well, there's only really two Scottish cities, aren't there? It's Edinburgh and Glasgow.
I knew he said Belfast, and I'm like, I can't remember where that's from.
Oh, okay. No, I think you're on the wrong side of the ditch there. Question number four, we're in crime books. Which police inspector made his debut in Ruth Rendell's 1964 novel, From Dune with Death?
Oh, they're a wild guess. The only book that's coming to mind would be... something Wexford. Reg Wexford? Reginald Wexford?
No, not Reginald Wexford. Thank you, Jake. Tristan from Colac. Hi, Tristan.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad. Which police inspector made his debut in Ruth Rendell's 1964 novel From Dune with Death?
I'm not too sure. Sorry about that.
No worries. Gavin from Wanneroo. G'day, Gavin.
Hey there, Phil.
Hi, Gavin.
How you doing there?
Not bad. Question number four. Which police inspector made his debut in Ruth Rendell's 1964 novel From Dune with Death?
Oh, my God. That would be something out of my league. I can't even imagine anyone from Dune to Death. You know what I mean?
All right. Thanks, Gav. Anyway, lines are free, 1-300-800-222, if you would like to grab one. Paul from Kalgoorlie. G'day, Paul.
Oh, g'day. How you going?
Not bad.
Actually, before I answer this, I remember you saying last night that if you could do away with one rule from AFL, it would be the 50-metre penalty. And I was just reading the news feed this evening, and Gary Lyon, who's a well-known commentator, he said exactly the same thing.
Oh, he did he?
Yeah.
Well, he's a sensible bloke, Paul, obviously.
It is a bit severe, isn't it? I've always thought it's a bit severe.
Well, I just think it can be, very severe, you know, particularly on smaller grounds. It's basically gifting the opposition a goal, you know.
I know, yeah. And, I mean, they impose it for all these, you know, weird rules like...
Like really snippy things like you ran through the mark.
Well, yeah, and I mean, even if you're just running near the mark, then they impose it. And I mean, no one even understands the stand rule, and yet they impose it.
So I know. It's a rule that no one understands, yeah. and all of a sudden, you know, whistle's blown and the bloke's kicking from the top of the goal square. Nah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Nah. Anyway. Paul, question, you and I could talk all night. I'll get the next round. Okay, question number four. We're in crime books. Which police inspector made his debut in Ruth Rendell's 1964 novel, From Dune with Death?
Oh, Ruth Rendell, she's one of these prolific, English writers. Look, I think someone said Wexford, but I think it is Wexford. I don't know.
What's your answer?
Wexford?
Yes, correct. Wexford, that's it. That's what I want. Inspector Wexford, yes, correct.
I mean, there's Morse and Vera and all of those other ones, but I think it was Wexford, yeah.
Yeah, you wonder that there's enough crime to go around with all of them are active, don't you, Paul?
Well, you wouldn't want to live in midsummer.
No, you would not. No, the chance of being murdered was pretty high.
Very high. Mm. Although, lovely place until you got knocked off.
Someone's taking me on saying there's more cities in Scotland than Glasgow and Edinburgh. There's Aberdeen and Inverness and Dundee and Perth. Well, that's true. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there are. And
I've been to all of those, and I don't think. Yeah. Well, they're not very big. Anyway,
I've been to Inverness, Glasgow, and Edinburgh, and right up the top as well. I went up to the Shetland Islands and Orkney Islands.
Oh, did you?
Orkneys, yeah.
Oh, gee, that's quite a trip.
It was a trip. Yeah, lovely places.
Yeah,
a bit mystical.
No, I've never been further north than Inverness.
Inverness is a special place.
It is quite a beautiful place, yeah. Well, beautiful, I don't know. It's a bit like all Scottish places, a bit stark, severe.
Mm.
Scottish Presbyterianism, Paul. Mm.
Yes, but what a history.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm. The Scottish Enlightenment. Question number five. We're in crime books. You can move.
No, stick there.
Crime books. Which English crime author created the detective and poet Adam Dalgleish?
Oh, now I know Dalgleish. Adam Dalgleish. I think this is one of these questions that if I could ponder it for about 5 minutes, I'd probably work it out. Adam Dalgleish, I know the name. I'm afraid my mind's not moving fast enough at the moment, Phil. I can't think of anyone, but let me see. See if I can come up with someone to knock them out. No, I'm afraid I've gone blank.
No worries. Thanks, Paul. Always good to chat. Thanks, mate. See you, mate. Bye-bye. Right. Thank you. Someone's texted me saying, oh, goody, football talk back. No, don't worry. Don't worry. You don't have to switch off just yet. Tess from South Australia's got the right answer here. Good. Jane from Mount Gambier's got the right answer as well. What about Glenn from Penrith? Hello, Glenn.
How are you, buddy?
I am all right. Yeah.
That's the way. I've got friends in Scotland at the moment.
Have you?
Yeah, they've been there.
They're trying to get away. They've got a long way to get away from you, Glenn.
Yeah, they have, haven't they?
Yeah.
No, they're going on a... They're an elderly couple. Oh, yeah. They drove through Wales and right up through England and now into Scotland. An hour ago, they were at the Isle of Skye.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're driving back down. They'll be back down in Southampton by next week, then going on a 2-week Baltic cruise.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've been to the Isle of Skye. It's a lovely place. It's got a very nice whiskey there called Talisker.
Everywhere they go every day, they put on photos on Facebook. Sounds good.
Oh, good.
For the holiday. I didn't even have to pay for anything.
Question number five, we're in crime books. Which English crime author created the detective and poet Adam Dalgleish?
I have not got a clue, mate.
All right. That's fair enough.
Couldn't even tell you an author about a crime book.
Thanks, Glenn. See you, mate.
See you, buddy.
Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Kim from Manham. Hello, Kim.
Good morning, Philip. Good morning.
Good morning. It is morning, yes.
It's hard to know which part of the day I'm in.
The voice of the Murray, Kim from Manham. Tell me, which English crime author created the detective and poet Adam Dalgliesh?
I was hoping you wouldn't come to me. What's her name? Lady who wrote crime novels. No, it's not coming to me.
No good.
Sorry, Philip.
Now, before you go, Kim, we've had, well, there have been many requests for things for you to have a crack at, but Swing Low, Sweet Chariot's been one of them.
That's exactly the one. I rang up, just spoke to David a little while ago.
Oh, good.
And he reminded me. He's got an amazing memory.
He does. you want to have a crack at it for us?
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Here we go.
Not right away.
No, that's all right. But would you do it next week for us?
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
Either tomorrow or the following week.
Oh, Thursday. Well, actually, we could do it tomorrow, couldn't we? Yeah. End of the week and all of that. Why not?
I'm busy all day, but I'll try and dig up music.
Okay. Well, it's up to you, Kim. If you would rather leave it a week, that's fine with us too. But
no, once it's in my memory, once I've remembered everything, it'll be all right.
Okay. Well, up to you, Kim. If you're ready to roll, you give us a bell, and the back deck of the paddle steamer is yours.
Oh, on the mighty Mississippi.
Exactly.
Or the mighty Murray.
The mighty Murray, that's right.
Yes.
Forget the Mississippi, that's right.
Right.
Righto, Kim.
Thank you, Phil. You're on.
We don't know the answer to this question, do we? All right, so, Kim, we're on. We'll talk again.
Shall do.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Phil.
1-300-800-222. Yes, Talisker is a famous whiskey produced on the Isle of Skye. It's really delicious. Jane from Mount Gambier. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Phil.
Question number five we're up to here. Which English crime author created the detective and poet Adam Dalgliesh?
Yeah, I texted you through, and it's P.D. James.
It is, yes. Baroness James. I think she is a baroness, P.D. James.
Oh, is she? I think she's passed away.
She's no longer with us. No, that's true. But I think she was.
Name.
I think she was a baroness. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Alrighty. Someone said Talisker 57 degrees north is a rare treat if you have a friend. Oh, okay. They make a few of them. It's really delicious. Now, Jane, question number six. Crime books is where we are. You can move if you like.
I'll stick with it. Thanks, Phil.
The story of history's most famous assassination is a non-fiction book about which ancient crime?
Oh, my goodness. I was hoping it'd be another English one.
The story of history's most famous assassination is a non-fiction book about which ancient crime?
History's most famous assassination. There's a lot. Look, this is a guess. Let's say the killing of Julius Caesar.
Correct, yes.
Oh, goodness.
The assassination of Julius Caesar. Very good. All right, question number seven. We're in crime books. One left here.
Oh, all right, let's try.
It's up to you. You don't have to.
I'll try it.
Here we go. Question number seven. The Mystery Writers of America Awards for the year's best mystery fiction are named after which 19th century American writer?
Oh, dear me. Oh, I should have rung earlier and got the English ones, but... American. I'm not sure whether he was American or not, but I'll try Edgar Allan Poe.
Correct. Very good. How about that?
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore. Tell this soul with sorrow laden if within the distant Aden It shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Yes.
Because I thought, you know, ravens are English, and was he English or not? Anyway, lucky guess.
There we go. Question number eight. Lynn the Queensland had Julius Caesar. Good. So did Jane from Homebush and Karen from Mullumbimby as well. Righto, Jane from Mount Gambier. Question number eight. And there's no more crime books. So we are into born in 1946, food and drink, farm equipment, health and fitness.
I'll try food and drink, please, Phil.
Food and drink. Question number eight. According to taste.com.au, what is the best-selling McDonald's burger in Australia?
Oh, goodness. probably Big Mac, I would think.
Not a Big Mac.
Not a Big Mac.
Righto, Jane, thank you. See you later. No, not a Big Mac. Warren from Peran in Victoria. Hello.
G'day, how are you?
Very good. Very well. Question number eight. We're in a category called food and drink. According to taste.com.au, what's the best-selling McDonald's burger in Australia?
Would it be a cheeseburger?
It is a cheeseburger, yes.
My go-to when I go there anyway.
It's the simplest thing, isn't it, the cheeseburger? Mm. Yeah. It's what it looks like. It's what you get. All right, question number nine. We're in food and drink. You don't have to stay there. You can move to farm equipment, health and fitness, born in 1946, if you like.
Born in 1946. Look, that's going to be a stretch. I think I might stick with this category.
Food and drink?
Yeah.
Question number nine. Food and drink. Arroz is the Spanish word for which food?
Arroz. Look, I've not heard of this, so it's all about taking a guess. Spanish food, arroz. Oh, God. Look, some kind of rice-based. No, that would be a paella. Look, I'm going to have to bomb out.
All right. Thank you, Warren. Thank you anyway. Trev from Surface Paradise. Hello, Trev.
Hello, Philip.
Food and drink. Arroz is the Spanish word for which food?
I don't know. Can I have a guess and say bread?
Not bread. Knocks one out, though. Yeah, it's not bread. Lines are free. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Di from Mandurah has got the right answer. Craig from Dudley Park, correct. Errol from Anglesey. Hello, Errol.
Howdy.
Question number nine, Errol, food and drink. Arroz is the Spanish word for which food?
Well, I'm not a super guesser like coming up with Julius Caesar and Edgar Allan Poe. It's fantastic that I've never heard of. Have you ever heard anything like it before?
Jane from Mount Gambier is pretty good. She's pretty good at this.
That's outrageous. Is it beef?
Not beef. No. Sorry, Errol. See ya. It's not. It's not beef. Susie's got the right answer. Lynn the Queenslander, correct. Paul from North Fitzroy, also correct. Annette in Perth is correct as well. Neil in Perth. Hi, Neil.
Hi. How are you doing, Phil?
Pretty good. Arroz is the Spanish word for which food?
For rice,
yes. Arroz. Actually, I suppose if it's in Spain, do they say arroz? Arroz?
Arroz. Arroz. Maybe the CH. It's the only thing I do a big thing each year. I do a big paella at Easter. It's my one thing, so I've got the one down back.
Ella and a few others, by the way, are asking on another matter, why was Inspector Wexford wrong, Inspector Wexford right? Look, it was just a judgment I was making about how the answers were derived. Ella, that's all. I may be wrong, but that's what my judgment was. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Right, Brownie from Darwin and Alex are listening in from 200 miles out to sea and saying, Rice, good on you. All righty, we're up to question number 10. We're in food and drink. But you don't have to stay there. You can move. You can move any, Ross.
No, let's keep going there.
Okay. Food and drink. Question number 10. What drink was so popular in 1800s Paris that 5 o'clock was commonly known as Green Hour?
Oh, that would be the Green Fairy. Where's my brain's trust when I need it? What's the drink? Moulin Rouge, the absinthe.
That's it. Yes, correct. Absinthe
without the brain's trust.
Absinthe. Oh, I would have ruled you out if you'd had the brain's trust.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, you wouldn't. You can't do that, Neil. Righto. Question number 11. We're in food and drink, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep going.
Liberica, Robusta, and Arabica are all types of what?
Coffee bean.
Correct. Yes, they're all types of coffee bean. All right. One left in food and drink, if you like.
Yeah, now let's finish it off.
A popular foodstuff in Scandinavian countries, which fish are known as silver of the sea?
That would be probably herring.
Correct, yes. Herrings are known as silver of the sea. I think that's what they make those roll mop things of, isn't it?
Yeah, and my daughter just bought a packet the other day, and I was like, I'm not sure, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think an acquired taste, exactly.
Yeah, no. Well, she acquired them in the car when I was driving.
Oh, even worse.
Oh no,
even worse.
So weird. So wrong.
Well, eating in the car generally, Neil, is I mean, there's a general prohibition on it, I reckon. And eating something like roll mops in the car, that's not. That is open the door and get out.
Well, I did say that. Roll them up to the passenger seat. It's a bit smelly, not good.
No, a bit smelly. No, that is that. And also, how are you going to get the smell out of the car, Neil?
Yeah, no, it went eventually. But yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, no, that's no good at all. No.
Okay.
Any types of Asian takeaway? No. Trying to think of anything. Actually, even fish and chips in the car. No.
Oh, I don't know. It's not bad, though, is it?
Yeah, no. I'm not saying it's
malt vinegar.
No, I'm not saying it's bad to eat, but I mean, if you eat a fresh packet of fish and chips in the car, the smell never goes away.
It does hang on, doesn't it? That is an issue. No, fair call.
Fish sauce. Anything with fish sauce.
Oh.
No. Sardines, mules and herring are all the same fish. I don't think that's right. I don't think a herring and a sardine is it?
No, a muley is a pilchard.
Yeah, and that's right. And that's not all the same. Sardines and muleys and herrings aren't all the same fish, are they? Someone said.
No. I don't believe that. Well, not species wise, absolutely.
No, I agree. Ingrid from Orlando says, stop, this fish story is bound to end badly. No. All righty. Okay, we've turned the corner. Question 13. We've got no more food and drink. So we've got farm equipment, health and fitness, born in 1946.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Look, I'm a history tragic, so World War II stuff, so maybe post-war. Oh gosh, but I'm not that old. Let's go born in 1946. Let's have a go.
Born in 1946. You've had how many? What did you start with? The rice one.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Nice work. Question 13. Born in 1946.
Mm.
Name any of the three US presidents who were born in 1946.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, hang on, yeah. Neil. Do I hear the brains trust? We can't have that.
No, no brains trust.
Sorry, Neil. We can't. So I'm really sorry, but we can't do a brains trust. This is a very common rule on the Mighty Challenge. Tom from Middlesea. Hello, Tom. G'day, hey, Tom.
First time. Hello, Phil. Long time listener. First time caller. Mate.
Oh, Tom. Very well. A big welcome to you. Welcome to the online live nightlife family. Good on you.
Thanks, mate.
Now, question 13. Born in 1946. Name any of the three US presidents who were born in 1946.
All right, I'll give you a very confident but unconfident Bill Clinton.
Correct. Yeah, I wanted any of them. You could also have named George W. You could also have named the orange one as well. Because he was born on this day in 1946.
Todd, he looks good for his age, doesn't he?
He does.
My fellow citizens, at this last presidential inauguration of the 20th century, let us lift our eyes toward the challenges that await us in the next century. The demands of our time are great, and they are different. Let us shape the hope of this day into the noblest chapter in our history. Yes, let us build our bridge.
Yeah, there you go. Bill Clinton, a very successful US president in many ways. He just shouldn't have stared down the camera and said, I did not have sex with that woman, Tom.
Even though he may have.
I did not have sex with that woman. He said, defining sex in a very narrow way indeed.
Well, you know what they say, Phil, first rule of presidency and prime ministership, deny, deny, deny.
Deny, 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 yes. Until you're caught red-handed.
And then you deny it.
Then you deny it, seek a pardon, and get out of there as fast as you can.
You will never make it as a president, mate.
Ingrid from Melanda says, I didn't really envisage the Don back then. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, the orange one himself was born in 1946. Tony from Melville says, Phil, sardines and herrings are indeed related. They are both part of the Clupedii family. Okay. We don't want to get all technical on this. Chris in the Nightwatch says the Z in Aros is pronounced S as in the word boss. Aros. Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Question number 14, Tom. Staying born in 1946.
What are the options again, please, Phil?
We've got born in 1946, farm equipment or health and fitness.
Well, let's go to farm equipment.
Farm equipment it is. Question number 14. In his guise as the Grim Reaper, Death is traditionally depicted holding a farm tool. Which one?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but scythe.
Yes, a scythe.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. A scythe, that's right. Death is traditionally depicted holding a scythe. Ben from Sale says, no, they're not all the same fish. They're related school fish, yes, but definitely not the same. Tell them, stick that in your crab pot. Thank you, Ben. Question number 15, farm equipment. In Ireland, the Big Dipper constellation is known by the name of which piece of basic farming equipment?
The Big Dipper what, Phil?
In Ireland, the Big Dipper constellation is known by the name of which piece of basic farming equipment?
Well, but, Jazz, this has to be a shovel now.
No, it's not a shovel. Sorry, Tom. Thank you. That wasn't too bad. Give us a call again. See you later. Bye-bye. Tom, a first-timer. Ian is in Dover in Tassie. G'day, Ian.
Good morning.
The most singular event today was, Ian, what?
The most singular event today? Confusing the person on the phone who came from Belgium as the person who came from Canada.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty basic error.
That was a pretty basic error. It was a funny conversation. I'll get to put a body to the voice next week.
Okay. Oh, they're coming out, are they? Okay.
Yeah, someone's going to come down and check my dog handling abilities.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, you've got a guide dog. They check you out every 6 months.
Is that right?
Yeah, see if you're doing things proper.
Oh, what do they mean by that? Like you're feeding the dog properly and so on?
No, just in your handling and your orientation, how you're working with the animal.
Isn't that interesting? All right. So you like it's like a performance review for you, Ian.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dogs have certain characteristics trained in a specific certain way.
Yeah.
And so you can't start being. You can't start varying it. You get a confused dog and you start, putting yourself and the dog at maybe a bit of risk.
Oh, okay.
And electric motor cars are a real modern nuisance.
Why? Oh, what you mean because dogs are trained on combustion engines?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, humans are trained on combustion engines. Humans nearly get cleaned up by them as well.
Yeah, that's true. Because they don't make a noise, yeah.
Yeah, they just sneak up on you in the car park.
Yeah, that's no good if you're a blind person, is it? That's really no, yeah, no.
Oh, it's no good if you're a sighted person. They're still sneaking up on you.
Yeah.
Oh, even if you can see, you still can't hear them.
Yeah. I suppose that, actually the guide dog's even more important in that. If you're in the supermarket car park, you can get cleaned up by those things, can't you? They're backing out, you don't hear, because they don't make any noise at all.
Yeah. So they've changed the training to accommodate for that sort of thing.
Okay.
So that the dogs are picking up the movement and the change of location and things like that.
Yeah.
But even for sighted people without a dog, electric cars can be a little bit of a surprise sometimes.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting.
I'll meet the Belgian person next week and she will assess my ability.
Okay, well, good luck, Ian.
If I fail, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I was going to say, does the dog go into the back of the van and goodbye?
No, I think it rarely happens.
Okay.
Mistreatment would be the only situation where that would occur.
You have to take your shirt off and take the traditional 50 lashes, which is, what your forebears used to do, Ian.
Yeah. Well, we're getting snow down to 500 metres tomorrow, so I think I'll be leaving the shirt on if that occurs.
Question 15. We're in farm equipment. In Ireland, the Big Dipper constellation is known by the name of which piece of basic farming equipment?
A sickle?
Not a sickle. No.
Good night, Phil.
Good night. Thanks, Ian. Good luck. No, not a sickle. Tom from Hawthorne. Sorry, Tom from Hawthorne. Hi, Tom.
Good evening, Phil.
In Ireland, the Big Dipper constellation is known by the name of which piece of basic farming equipment?
Farming equipment, Ireland.
In Ireland, the Big Dipper constellation.
Big Dipper.
Yeah, the Big Dipper constellation is known by the name of which piece of basic farming equipment?
If it's basic, it's got to be a mower.
No, not a mower. Sorry, not a mower. My texter says, surely if Ian fails the dog handling test, they will give him a self-driving electric car. Yes. Yes, there you go. Rosa down in the corner's got the right answer here. What about Michael in the Rumour? Hello, Michael.
G'day, how are you going?
Pretty good. In Ireland, the Big Dipper constellation is known by the name of which piece of basic farming equipment?
Well, it's inside the tractor or the plough, so I'd go the plough.
Correct, it is. It's the plough.
Yeah.
It's the Big Dipper constellation is known as the plough. All right, question 16. 10 to go. We're in farm equipment. You can stay or move, if you like, to health and fitness, born in 1946.
I like history, so I'll try 1946.
1946, question number 16. Which country singer and philanthropist was born on the 19th of January, 1946, in Pittman Center, Tennessee?
Dolly Parton.
Of course. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me. Made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. Thanks for the text, by the way. A lot of texters saying their electric cars do emit some sound when at low speeds. Okay. Michael?
Yes.
Question 17, born in 1946.
Yeah.
Alongside John Voight and Mel Gibson, which Oscar-nominated action star is currently serving as one of Donald Trump's special ambassadors to Hollywood?
Actually, I kind of know that. It's maybe I do. The wrestler. Is it the wrestler? Hulk Hogan.
Not Hulk Hogan. I know why. Thank you, Michael. I know why you're saying that. Yes, I know, but it's not Hulk Hogan. Cameron from Venice Bay. G'day, Cameron.
Hey, how are you going?
Pretty good. We're in born in 1946. Alongside John Voight and Mel Gibson, which Oscar-nominated action star is currently serving as one of Donald Trump's special ambassadors to Hollywood?
I have absolutely no idea. Ambassador to Hollywood. Oscar nominated, not winner.
No good.
Nah.
No, mate. Thank you. One of my texters says, "Are you telling me that Dolly Parton is 80? She doesn't look it. I know she doesn't look it, but she is. I know she's been around forever. Good on her. I know she doesn't look 80. But she was born in 1946 on the 19th of January in Pittman Center, Tennessee, which does make her 80. Yeah. All righty. Let's go. Sorry, Jim in Banksia Park. Sorry, Jim, we got you there. Hello.
Bill, how are you?
Pretty good. Born in 1946, alongside John Voight and Mel Gibson, which Oscar-nominated action star is currently serving as one of Donald Trump's special ambassadors to Hollywood?
It's going to be a guess. He's got to be 79 or 80. Sylvester Stallone.
Correct. Maybe? Yes. Sly Stallone is one of the Orange Man's special ambassadors to Hollywood. All right. Question number 18. We're in born in 1946. Up to you, but you can move if you like. We've got other categories you could go to, including health and fitness and farm equipment. Up to you.
Can we try health and fitness, please?
Health and fitness. Someone said Hulk Hogan might struggle to be an ambassador because he's dead. Oh, okay. Mike from Albany, yes, Hulk Hogan died recently. Okay. All right, health and fitness, question number 18. In fitness, Jim, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
HIIT. That's a very good question, Phil. I'm not repetitions. No.
You got me. All right, mate. Thank you anyway. Jai from Forbes on the road. G'day, Jai.
G'day. Hello.
Pretty good. In fitness, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
HIIT. Nah, mate, you're right.
No good. All righty. Chris in the Southern Waters says, yes, Hulk Hogan went to the great wrestling arena in the sky last year, July 24, 2025. There you are. Keith from Busselton. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Philip.
Yeah, question 18. We're in health and fitness. In fitness, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
Oh, look, I'll just have a guess.
I'll say white, 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 white.
No. Not gonna work, Keith. Sorry, that's not gonna work. Nope. Sam from Harvey. G'day, Sam.
Morning, Philip. How are you?
Morning, Sam. Very well. We're in health and fitness. In fitness, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
No, I'll pass it on. I wouldn't have a clue. But look.
Thanks, Sam. No worries. Cameron from South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
How are you, Philip?
Very well.
I've just got one word to say to you, and that's good night.
Good night. See you, Cameron. See you later. George from Melville. Hi, George.
I feel I've got a joke for you.
Yeah.
What's the scariest plant in the whole wide world?
The scariest plant?
In the whole world, yeah, scariest plant, yeah.
Mm. You better hit...
Bamboo. Yeah?
Yeah, and, I get it. Thank you.
I'm going to have a crack at this exercise one.
In fitness, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
Health in interval training?
No, that's not correct. No. Tracy from Mooney Ponds. Hi, Tracy.
Oh, hi, Phil. I'm going to try with, I'm thinking high intensity training, but I'm not sure what the other I, whether it'd be either impact or intermittent. intermittent.
No, not correct. Sorry, Tracy. Not correct. Ray from Yeronga. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
In fitness, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
In a high intensity. Don't know.
Okay, all right, we'll move on. Thank you guys who are listening far out to sea. Brownie from Darwin and Alex have the right answer here. What about Peter from Thrill? G'day, Peter.
I have no idea.
No good.
Totally enjoying the show, and I'll say good night.
Good night, thank you. Barrington says, by the way, yes, EVs do have mandated noise. They produce a synthetic hum or buzzing noise at speeds below approximately 30 k's to alert pedestrians. Okay. I don't think I've ever heard it. Have you in car parks? I don't think I've ever heard that. Do you think people can turn it off? Kate from Stonelands, that's very funny, but it's not right. Danny from Bellingen. G'day, Danny.
Yes.
Question 18. In fitness, what does the acronym HIIT stand for?
I think it stands for high intensity interval training.
Correct. That's right. Yes, high intensity interval training.
Interval training, yes.
Yeah. All right, question number 19. We're in health and fitness, or you could move to farm equipment or born in 1946.
Farm equipment.
Farm equipment it is. The flag of Mozambique features an AK-47. Crossed with which handheld farming tool?
An AK-47. I think. Let me think.
No. All right, Danny. Sorry. Peter from High Wycombe. G'day, Peter.
Hi.
Hello. Question number 19. The flag of Mozambique features an AK-47 crossed with which handheld farming tool?
Well, handheld farming tool.
We're in a category called farm equipment.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say scythe, but we've already had scythe before.
We've had a scythe. We've had a scythe and we've had a plough.
I couldn't imagine a player being held there.
A national flag with an AK-47 on it. I don't know what that says, but anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm going to have it, Phil. Good.
Okie doke. I wonder who knows the answer here. Pandora from Sapphire Beach. G'day, Pandora.
Hey, Phil. How are you going this evening?
Pretty good. Question number 19. The flag of Mozambique features an AK-47 crossed with which handheld farming tool?
Well, we've gone through size and all that. A hoe?
A hoe is correct, yes. Technically a mattock, I suppose. All righty.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry I'm not that equipped with my gardening and AK-47s combined.
My texter says you can't turn the sound off in those EVs, but Teslas are almost impossible to hear. Yeah, I've got a mate who's got a Tesla. I've stood beside him while he backed out of the car park. He didn't make a noise.
Oh, they're freaky.
I don't think that's right. I mean, they might be designed to, but I must say I don't think I've ever heard it.
I think they should make them with a program that actually makes them make some noise, so that you are aware.
Listeners say they do have this, but anyway. Question number 20: we're in farm equipment. You can have health and fitness or born in 1946.
Oh, all of them sound not fabulous, but I'll go with farm equipment.
Farm equipment, because of their long tails, sharks of the genus Alopias are named after which piece of farming equipment?
I sort of half want to say whip.
No, not whip.
So I'm saying it, yep.
Not a whip. It's not a piece of farming equipment, really, and it's also not the right answer. Tara's on the road. G'day, Tara.
G'day, Phil. How are you, mate?
Pretty good. Up to question 20 here. Nearly home, because of their long tails, sharks of the genus Alopias are named after which piece of farming equipment?
Right. Long tail.
Because of their long tails.
Farming equipment. We've had hay, we've had scythe.
At the roundabout, take a second exit to A1.
Long tail. I mean, I'm sort of coming up a bit of a blank on that, I think. Ooh.
No worries, Tara. No worries, Tara.
Yeah, I can't think of anything, to be honest.
That's all right. We can have a think through the news as well. We'll leave it there. We're up to question 20. We'll ask this question again and take some answers straight after the latest ABC News.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, where we were up to question number 20, and wondering, because of their long tails, sharks of the genus Alopias are named after which piece of farming equipment? Marie in Naruma. Hello, Marie. Hello. Hello, Marie.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, sorry, I had my volume down. I'm like, where's the radio gone? Okay, did he answer the question? Because I heard it, but...
what's the answer? Because of their long tails, sharks of the genus Alopias are named after which piece of farming equipment?
Right, well, you said long tailed, so my guess is wrong. My guess was a sawtooth.
Not a sawtooth, no. Sorry, Marie, no, that's not correct. Paul's on the road. G'day, Paul.
Howdy, Phil.
What do you reckon?
I don't know. I'll just go the hammerhead.
Not a hammerhead, no. We're in a category called farm equipment. Leck from Burrow. Hi, Leck.
Hello, Philip.
Question number 20, farm equipment. Because of their long tails, sharks of the genus Alopias are named after which piece of farming equipment?
Well, Philip, I'm going to go completely off topic for just 2 seconds before I get the answer completely wrong, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Swatdi Kun Philip, Burr from Burra, it's about 4 degrees here, which is...
That's cool.
Very chilly. I've got my electric blanket on. I wanted to give some insight into some topics that I wrote down. I'm sorry, I wrote down notes. So with Thai, with rice, there was some people speaking about rice earlier. Mm-hmm. There was an answer. So in Thai, to eat a meal is gin khao. But the same word for cow is rice.
There you go.
And herrings. I took a 40-kilometre trip to Clare today and bought frozen Scottish kippers from the supermarket. And
they're pretty disgusting.
I know who was talking about it, but and herring salad or the roll mops to turn into a herring. I fell half asleep. I should have.
Thai word for chili, Lick?
Prick.
Prick. Yes.
You made me say that. You have prick chi fa and prihi nu and Thai prick, which is peppercorns
as
well.
Hey, now, Lek, all this is all very well.
But I'm not going to get it. I'm going to go now.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye. Thank you. Not sure what all that was about. Joe from Mount Dandenong. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Phil. It's a bit cool up here. We're hoping for snow tonight.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you're in the Dandenong, like Mount Dandenong, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you probably will get a bit of snow. It's, yeah. Tell me, because of their long tails, do sharks of the genus Alopius are named after which piece of farming equipment?
Well, whip was no good, so what else is that sort of thing? Something just thinking flail, and that's a bit of an old tile. How about thresher?
A what?
Thresher, as in threshing machine.
Correct, yes, a thresher. That is correct, a thresher shark.
The modern form of the flail they used to use.
Yeah. Your phone sounds a bit dodgy up there. I'm now down there, not getting your connection there, Joe. Uh-huh. Question number 21. Yep. We're in farm equipment. One left, if you like.
Stick with farming, please.
Which piece of agricultural equipment takes its name from a Latin word meaning to pull?
To pull. Tractor.
Correct. Tractor. Yeah. All right, we've only got four left. We've got three in health and fitness. No, hang on. We've got, where are we? Two in health and fitness, and we've got two in 1946, so four left.
Let the unfit person go for health and fitness.
Health and fitness, why not? Question number 22. Contrology was the original name for which popular exercise system?
Contrology
was the original name.
It's not EMS, electromuscular stimulation, is it?
No, it's not. Sorry, okay. Joe, thank you. No, it's not. That Patrick in Devonport. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Question 20. Contrology was the original name for which popular exercise system?
Oh, contrology.
We're in a category called health and fitness.
Yeah, contrology. It'll have to be a guess. I'll go with, I don't know. I don't know many. I'll go with Zumba.
Not Zumba. No, thank you. No, not Zumba. We have had Zumba as an answer. Peter from Wanturna in Victoria. G'day, Peter.
G'day, Mr. Clark. I love you. I've missed you so much. Good to talk to you again.
Well, likewise, Peter. Question number 22. Contrology was the original name for which popular exercise system?
Isometrics.
Not isometrics. No, not isometrics. Chris from Werribee. G'day, Chris.
There you go.
Pretty good. Contrology. Contrology was the original name for which popular exercise system?
Would it be Pilates?
Correct, yes. It would be. Pilates was originally known as contrology. All right, we've got three left, one in health and fitness, two in born in 1946.
Health and fitness.
Health and fitness, last one. Which system of calisthenics has a name meaning extreme limit in Chinese?
Tai Chi?
Correct. Yes, Tai Chi is a system of calisthenics. Means extreme limit in Chinese. Righto, we've got two left. They're both born in 1946. Which former leader of the Federal Liberal Party was born on the 28th of October 1946 in Carlton, New South Wales? Which former leader of the Federal Liberal Party?
John Howard?
Not John Howard. No. Sorry, Chris. Thank you. No, not John Howard. Jim in Seaford. G'day, Jim.
Good morning, Philip.
Morning. Which former leader of the Federal Liberal Party was born 28th of October 1946 in Carlton, New South Wales? Not John Howard.
John Hewson?
Correct.
Wow.
Yes. It was John Hewson. Wow. Look at this.
Hello?
Oh. Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's where we're at.
I've been here once before, unsuccessfully.
Ah, Jim. Okay. All righty. Question 25. Born in 1946. Which of the Bee Gees was born on the 1st of September 1946?
John?
No.
Oh.
No. Sorry, Jim. You've been there again.
Well, next time.
See ya. Bye-bye. Peter from Rolling Stone. Hello, Peter.
Yes, good morning.
Hi. Oh. Which of the Bee Gees was born 1st of September 1946?
Well, I stand a chance here, I think, because the other two are twins, Barry.
Correct. Yes, exactly right. It was Barry Gibb. And the lights all went down in Massachusetts the day I left her standing on her own. Yes, just noting there, Peter, the lights did go down in Massachusetts. A source of continuing controversy here on the Nightlife Mighty Challenge program, where we have a substantial number of listeners who believe the lights went out in Massachusetts. They didn't. Dear.
Well, all the other contestants that answered the questions I didn't know, but left me one that I stood a chance at.
There you go. Well done. That's all you have to do, Peter. Answer question 25. You've done it, so you're the magnet winner. So congratulations. Thank you. Don't hang up. We'll hang on. I'll put you on hold. And Dave will get some details and send you the magnet, which you will receive in due course. That's all I'll say about that. Barry from Darwin and Alex listening 200 miles out to sea. You haven't given me an answer. They have got a lot of right answers, actually. Jane from Homebush had Barry Gibb. Baronia from Adelaide had Barry Gibb. Chipper in King Island had Barry Gibb. Good on you. Bernie had Barry Gibb. Lynn the Queenslander had Barry Gibb as well. Nice work, everyone.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.